So my name is Will Archer, and I'm the pastor of Potomac Valley Church.
What inspired you to become a pastor?
You know, it's kind of a long story, but the short version of the story is when I was 8 years old, I had a spiritual experience that motivated me to start asking some questions about faith. And over the next 10 years, I was able to read the Bible, really understand more about Jesus. But I found that it was difficult for people to find accessible places of faith. And so I felt motivated by God when I was 18 to become a minister, to create spaces for all people. Yeah. Or to align with God and His plan to help, you know, provide spaces for all people.
How does it feel to be helping people?
Honestly, it's incredible. It's challenging. It is, you know, I've had the privilege now of being a pastor for 27 plus years. So there's lots of sweet, wonderful weddings and births and celebrations. And there's also lots of bitterness, loss and pain and difficulty that I've experienced. But it's been an adventure the whole way through.
How important is it for the community to talk about mental health?
I think it is vitally important to talk about mental health. Mental health governs everything. You know, our ability to make choices and to be at peace within ourselves and at peace with others is central. And that's why we have a deep commitment to engaging in the community, serving people, and working with partners to ensure that both our members and our broader community can enjoy the very best mental health.
So in the area, they're creating a crisis receiving center that's going to really be a game changer in terms of mental health care. How does it feel to be a part of that movement in helping the mental health conversation in Prince William County?
Absolutely. First off, I just really want to commend the governor, commend the local officials, especially Supervisor Bailey, who's been a great champion of this effort, for making this happen. We're going to have the first of its kind crisis receiving center right here in Prince William County. Prince William is the second largest jurisdiction in Virginia, and so it's so critical that we do this. Going through, before the pandemic here in Prince William, we had mental health challenges that were staggering. Since the pandemic, that's only become exponentially more challenging. So I couldn't be more grateful to be a part of the conversation, to be a part of the efforts, mostly behind the scenes to help to support this. And I really look forward to seeing a very amazingly vibrant and heavily utilized crisis receiving center. I will note, though, that given the scale of the challenges that we're facing, I believe that the crisis receiving center, as amazing it is, as it is, will really only be one component of a much more intricately involved and desperately needed framework for mental health in Prince William, in Northern Virginia, and Virginia at large.
I've talked to other pastors about mental health care and all that. It also helps, you know, criminal justice system. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So our congregation, Potomac Valley, we have 70% of our congregation are active or retired military. We have an intimate relationship with the town of Dumfries Police Department and with Prince William County Police. And so I think from all of my engagement with law enforcement and all of my engagement with our congregation, which is heavily either active or retired military, I'll tell you the needs for mental health care are massive. The strain that that puts on families and the strain that it puts on law enforcement is unsustainable. And so I think it's important to recognize that these actions alleviate strain off the general community, but also off law enforcement. So law enforcement can focus on really pursuing criminals and providing a safe environment for all of us to live in. And then those who are in the social services field can really work with folks that have mental health challenges. And also so that we avoid kind of the extraordinary situations that often happen when criminality and mental health kind of conflict with each other or can be understood as the same thing. So I think more assistance, more engagement, more support, which is what Prince William is choosing to do and what the Commonwealth of Virginia is choosing to do, is the right thing at the right time, and we just need more of it.
How important is faith for your mental health?
It's everything. I mean, so I will tell you, as a believer who's been walking as a follower of Jesus for 30 years, you know, faith is everything. I mean, God, I believe that God knitted all of us together in our mother's womb. I believe, you know, that the Bible offers the answer for how to live one's life. And I believe that faith is central to one being at peace with oneself, being at peace with others, and being at peace and in a right relationship with God. I will tell you, for me in particular, prayer has been the most transformative thing for my own mental health, followed only by having people that I have a great degree of trust in, a small group of people that I have a great degree of trust in, that I've been able to meet with consistently. One of our members recently, who served in law enforcement and served in the military, shared with me that this member was able to be a part of a small group where there was a high degree of trust, and that consistent engagement over a 2 to 3 year period was the most transformative thing for their own mental health. So while I think it's critical that people are getting mental health care from trained professionals, it's also critical that there are communities of support that can be there for folks as they're dealing with mental health challenges.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
I walk, I run, I pray. My wife just turned me on most recently to morning Lecto Divina, where I listen to a scripture over a 15-minute period, just a few verses of a scripture. That really helps me a lot. And also, just like I shared, you know, I'm a part of a small group where I'm an active participant. We meet twice a month. So I've got people that I have a high degree of trust in, that we have a real relationship, we really get to know each other. Those are all the things that I've been doing for my own mental health. Beyond that, I've been really fortunate that I've benefited from getting with trained counselors to get, you know, get practical counseling myself at different stages in my life. Most recently, at the beginning of the pandemic, I lost my mom. My siblings and I, we lost our mom. And I was really fortunate to be able to spend quite a bit of time with a grief counselor talking through my own mental health, because as much as I suggest and encourage people to pursue these things, I found that they are so important, you know, for my own care, because you really can only help people to the extent that you allow yourself to get help.
What have you learned from your mom?
I learned a lot from my mom. My mom is an incredibly intelligent, very driven and passionate person. And I learned a lot about really caring about people. I learned a lot about the importance of dealing with issues in your life and, you know, not being judgmental towards other people. And the truth is, I could do a whole video series on lessons learned from my mom and lessons learned from my dad as well.
For me, I live with bipolar disorder too. Yeah. And when I was diagnosed only 5 years ago, it was mm-hmm. when I was 37, mm-hmm. I felt ashamed and mm-hmm. I didn't say anything the 2.5 years. Mm. And then when I finally said something, I felt like my true self and, you know, getting the right treatment and everything. Mm-hmm. But do you feel that the stigma of just talking about mental health is lessening?
It's definitely lessening in my lifetime. I mean, when I was growing up, I had a cousin who had an emotional break and subsequent mental health challenges for the rest of her life, who passed away sadly in a mental health institution. And I remember my dad had a deep love and care for my cousin. But a lot of my family members struggled with her mental health challenges, and the community at large, some people were very embracing, lots of people were very embracing, but some people had a difficult time making sense of that. I think in the past decade, we've seen an incredible change in perceptions about mental health, and I think a greater acceptance of the fact that we need to deal with our own mental health. And I've definitely seen that change in me. I think my own views, I would have said that they were, you know, expansive a decade ago. They've become incredibly expansive since then. Because I know lots of folks that do lots of, you know, fantastic things in their lives that have to struggle every day with their own mental health. And I think of all the challenges that we're facing right now in Prince William County, in Virginia, I think mental health, and in the country at large, I think mental health challenges are by far, I would argue, the most profound challenge that we're facing as a country.
How is it talking to other, you know, churches and other faiths to come together to help other people?
You know, I think that's really the key to churches working together, to different faith traditions working together. Service is everything, and service is central to our faith. You know, Jesus explains in Matthew 25, Matthew 25 is the interpretive key to understand the whole Gospel of Matthew, that whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me. And what I've found is that creating spaces where we can serve together allow us to accept and engage with each other and connect with each other like never before. And that's what we found in our experience. We've done quite a bit over the past several years, you know, working whether with the synagogue or with the mosques or with other Christian denominations. We're a non-denominational church, but working with lots of other Christian denominations. And you know, it's interesting, all the barriers fall down when you start serving.
What would you say to anyone going through a tough time right now?
I would say to anyone going through a tough time right now that it's okay. It's okay that you're going through a tough time. I think I would encourage you to reach out to people that can help. I would encourage you that there are lots of people that want to help. There are lots of good people here in this community, lots of good people in Virginia. And though the media might often spin a different narrative, there are lots of great people in this country. This is a country that I love, I'm incredibly proud of. It is an imperfect country like every country, but I definitely believe it to be the city on a hill. And I would say there are folks that you can go to. I'd welcome you engaging with our community, but I can tell you that there are a multiplicity of communities where you would find warmth and welcome and hospitality and respect. I think many of the challenges we face because we just feel like we need to face them alone. And I appreciate you sharing about your own struggle with mental health. I think a lot of times we the stigma of feeling like, or even just the fear of being open about what you are. I think my experience is whenever you choose vulnerability, it really creates a pathway for relationship.
Yeah, I feel like my biggest tool in storytelling is empathy.
Yes, you're right. And it's really important to learn how to put yourself in someone else's shoes. You know, but I appreciate that question about what would I say to someone if they were needing help, because I think in as much as I'm sharing that, I can't imagine how difficult this is for you. I will tell you, my faith teaches me that God does know exactly how difficult it is for you. And if you open yourself up, God will put people in your path that will be able to be there for you and with you.
What motivates you?
You know, so I'm a simple person, to be honest. I am motivated by my faith in Jesus. That's my kind of driver in the morning. And through the day. When I was 12 years old, I read the Bible and I learned about Jesus, and I've spent my life living in lots of places, going to lots of places. My faith in Jesus motivates me. My relationship with my wife is a constant source of encouragement, and my desire for my kids to live in a better world is what's been encouraging me since they were born 21 years ago. My son's 21, my daughter's 15, since they were born, it just gave me a passion to make the world a better place, as best I can, at least to try to contribute. So that's kind of the order of priorities for me. It's Jesus, it's my wife and my kids. That's what motivates me. And I've been encouraged by working with people. I've been heartbroken, honestly, by working with people. If you do this kind of work where you engage in society, people are wonderful and they can be terrible. So I try to keep my motivation very narrow and have it run as deep as possible. But that's what drives me, man. Jesus, my wife, and my kids.
So with that, where do you want to see your mission in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm really concerned, to be honest, about how things are going here in Prince William County, how things are going here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I'm concerned about what's going on in America. I have a broader concern with the world, but a very narrow passion that God's really given me for this country, for our country, for my country. I think with that in mind, I'm really grateful for the partnerships we've been able to build and are building to engage with families. We have a dynamic partnership here with Blue Ribbon Results Preschool, which is a faith-based, brain-based preschool for kids from 2 to 5. So we're really excited about the work we're doing, engaging with kids at the very beginning and those young families. We are pursuing expanding some efforts to really work with young children between the ages of 6 and 12, and really trying to make an impact with young families. So that's something that's central to my own personal mission. But also I'm really excited about engaging with common sense leaders in both political parties, or those who don't have a political party, to really support policies that are going to build this community and this Commonwealth and make it strong. That's kind of where I am. I've been driving down the road to Richmond more than I ever have before, because I'm concerned about the direction of the Commonwealth. Lots of work on the ground, and then couple things in the clouds. But everything's kind of grounded in common sense.
How can people reach out to you and learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm so easy to connect with. At least I try to be as accessible as possible. If you'd like to connect with us, please visit our website, PotomacValleyChurch.com. You'll see what we're about. What you see online is what you'll see in person. We strive to just be who we are. We're a church of messed up people. You're welcome to engage with us on the website. You can shoot me an email. LinkedIn is my kind of social media of choice. So, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm also on Facebook. I'm still trying to figure out Instagram, but I'm there. I'm pretty accessible. Or you can just show up at church here on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock here in Dumfries at our Dumfries campus. I'm here just about every Sunday, and I'd welcome getting a chance to share a cup of coffee with you at our Apova Java coffee shop and have a conversation with you. I care about this community, and if you care about the community and you want to figure out some common sense ways that you can work with folks, we're right here. We're ready to help. We've rolled up our sleeves and we're ready to go.